What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Kinda Funny X-Cast, your home for all things Xbox here at Kinda Funny. Of course, I'm one of your hosts, Snowbike Mike, and today I am joined by both of my gaming dads. I'll start with the man in the middle, Mr. WrestleMania. Of course, I saw him down in Hollywood, and we're going to talk about it in just a moment. Parasilly, how are you today, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic. Let me know when we want to talk about WrestleMania because I have a lot to say. I'm doing fantastic. Gary, as always, it's great to see you. Excited for this episode this week.
I love hearing that. And yes, Paris, we're going to talk about it in just a moment at the top of the show. But first, I got to get over to my guy, Mr. Gary Witt, is in the building with me. I missed you last week, I believe. I didn't have you. And I have a surprise for you to kick off the show because, Gary Witt, I saw you take to Twitter and you said, "What knucklehead would dare buy the Puma Cloud9 gaming socks?" And I said, "Gary, oh boy, do I got a surprise for you. Your boy Snowbike Mike already owns them."
You already had them?
I've had them for years, Gary.
So that's a real thing, gaming socks.
Gaming socks.
It wasn't like an Gary. April Fool's or something.
No, they want you to enter the esports arena in comfort, walking on a cloud to bring your very best.
But those look more like actual, but I mean, those actually have like rubber soles, right? So are they even socks or are they just like really soft shoes?
I don't know why they even like made these.
The line has been blurred. I don't even know what to make of that.
I don't know if I'm supposed to wear socks underneath them or not.
Well, the thing. Like a sock to me is something that you would wear a shoe over. You can't wear a shoe over that.
No, you don't. No, this is you slide your foot in and it's your shoe foot.
Would you walk around outside with those on?
Hell no.
When you leave the office today, are you going to put on a different pair of shoes?
Of course.
Okay, so they're just for indoor use.
These are my office.
So they're more
slippers.
Like slippers.
Yeah,
because slippers have soles. Why don't they can't call them gaming slippers though, because that makes you sound like an old man.
Exactly.
I might be more likely to buy them. They remarketed them as gaming slippers.
Yep.
That would unlock the Gen X and Boomer demographic.
Puma, are you taking notes?
They're not paying, but they don't think they don't want my money. Even though I've got more money than fucking millennials and Gen Zers, they don't want my money's no good.
They want my money.
Yeah, they want your money.
$25. That's right, Gary. Yeah. So I thought I'd make your day today, and I'd ask
Well, you haven't.
I'd ask you, what was the dumbest gaming accessory you ever bought? Because clearly, I've bought the Puma gaming socks. I want to know, what was the dumbest gaming
accessory you've ever bought? I mean, I bought a lot of dumb shit in my life. I used to be the ultimate sucker for, like, staying up late at night and calling in and buying, like, whatever late-night infomercial bullshit that they would have. Oh, you should see some of the shit that I bought over the years. But I don't think I've ever bought a dumb gaming... When it comes to gaming accessories...
Okay.
I'm usually pretty good at sniffing out what is. I mean, it's all bullshit, isn't it? Like, okay, that's bullshit.
Yeah, bullshit.
Right, those fucking Gunner optics. Come on, who are we trying to kid? What was the other one? Oh, like, and don't get me started on gaming chairs. So they at DX Racer actually sent me a gaming chair once. I would never buy one.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't understand. I tell you that is the absolute genius marketing of all time that I've ever seen. The idea that you need like a special, like a gaming chair.
Yeah,
a chair is just a fucking chair, as long as it's comfortable.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is, they made it so that like, it's very, you know, because they have these high backs, almost like sitting in a race car, right?
Yes.
These ridiculous kind of like wing outs and stuff. Like, it's only there for show, but like Twitch streamers started using them and they're very visible. And they started to create this idea that, oh, well, if I want to be taken seriously as a gamer, I've got to have a gaming chair as well.
Chair.
You know what they should do? They should like just have a regular chair, but like for much less money, just sell like a fake back that you can put on it that makes it look like you're sitting in one of these chairs. The only good gaming chair I've ever sat in, the good people at Logitech sent me their Herman Miller one that they did.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm in right now.
Okay. It's a very comfortable chair, and what and Paris, as Paris will confirm, the thing that I like about that is they resisted that bullshit. You can't even, when you're sitting in it, you can't even tell, because it doesn't have a high back.
Yeah.
You can't even tell that you're sitting in the chair, because it doesn't have that stupid, you know, the chairs that look like what they have now in like the sports dugouts.
Yes.
You know, where it comes all the way over the back of your head. Mm-hmm. And it's all marketing. It's all bullshit. There are so many gullible people out there, and you can, there's so much money out there to just be taken.
Taken, Gary.
I wish I had no morals at all, because I would be so rich. If I had no morals or ethics, and just like, how do I get the money? And I don't care who I have to exploit or scam to get the money. I wouldn't fucking be here. I'd be sitting on a beach.
So you're telling me all of those
my money,
those back fans for the 360s that I kept buying were never worth it? Do you remember those? Personally, I got to get you involved. What was the dumbest gaming accessory you ever bought? Because, like I said, 360 era, I was buying those weird triple fans that you would shove onto the back of the 360 for extra exhaust, Gary, because I needed to make sure the 360 wouldn't overheat.
No, I actually, you just called it. That was the dumbest thing I've ever bought, was the freaking fan to put on the console. It's like, why? Like, it's really going to overheat that much. But to be fair, in the 360 era, remember, Red Ring of Death, a lot of people's systems were failing. So at that time, you're thinking, okay, that's going to save my system. It won't break.
I know, but it's like the fucking ivermectin of overheating Xbox 360s. You know, it's just bullshit cure. You know, there's a whole category, and I can't speak because I do sometimes drink them.
Yes.
But like the gaming energy drinks.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever tried G Fuel?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fucking hell. It's horrible.
I mean, do you want us to bring in Andy Cortez so he can talk all
when
about
it? When I was at TwitchCon last year, I got invited by 100 Thieves to this event. And it was to launch one of their streamers. What's his name? Fucking Grape Nuts? Nade Shot.
Grape Shot? Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't know why I thought Grape Nuts. Nade Shot had his own energy drink.
Yeah.
And they had them there, so I tried. It just tastes like every other fucking horrible energy drink. Like, what is this supposed to do for me? Like, where is there a gap in the market for another one of these? Like, every week I go to the store. I'm sorry, I sound like a grumpy old man.
Hey, it's all about the money.
Every week I go to the store and there's some new bullshit drink that tastes like every other one, but they've marketed it like slightly differently. And that's all it is. It's just marketing, marketing, marketing. There's no actual products anymore.
Yeah.
It's just the same product being remarketed 15 different ways. And I find it quite depressing.
And I'll tell you what.
I mean, I was in a bad mood today. I said, you shouldn't put me on camera today. I said, I tried to warn Mike. I said, if you think about my mood as a 20-point scale, right? Uh-huh, zero is neutral, and plus 10 is like the best mood I could possibly be in, and minus 10 is the worst mood I could possibly be in. Right now, I'm running at like a minus 2 or a minus 3.
But so
like, I don't know why.
I go up a point?
There's nothing wrong with my life right now. My life's fine. I don't have anything to complain about. Like, I'm just in a, just woke up this morning, got out the wrong side of the bed. But like, that's where I am.
Okay.
So like, I would, anyone who wants to complain about me in the YouTube comments or whatever this week, fair play. Like, you know, take your shot this week because it's probably justified. I'm probably going to be a bit more cynical and a bit more harsh on things. Like whatever I say about anything this show, just in your mind, just like dial it back 20%. Just
really
compensate for the fact that I'm in a bad mood.
Okay. Well, I like that, Gary. Let me bring a little more goodness into your life. Of course, I showed you off my Puma gaming socks.
Yeah.
But
that did nothing for me.
I thought that would bring you up one point. I'm not
going
to lie.
No, it didn't. I'm dug in at minus 2, minus 3. I'm not going to move.
Let me bring you up a point then. Let me tell you about WrestleMania weekend really quick.
Okay.
With one Paris Lily and the gang, of course. Shout out to Andrew, Renee, and John Drake. Got all of the Kind of Funny crew and all of our extended family together.
I enjoyed seeing all the Instagrams over the weekend. You guys looked like you had a ball.
Gary, an experience of a lifetime going down to Hollywood and seeing WrestleMania live and in action. Paris, I've done a lot of talking, so I'll let you tell Gary and myself, what did you think of WrestleMania?
I'm so glad you're letting me talk because I even said this to you on day two when I saw you for a few minutes because this is the point I need to make. So the first thing that I see is I see Greg on social media posting pictures of Mike. I'm like, oh shit, Mike's with Greg. Look at him. They're at the YouTube theater. And then the next thing I know, he's down there on the floor. This is all before WrestleMania even started, right? I go, oh man, that's really cool. Then, you know, I see Greg, Mike, they come up to the suite that we're at. We're all hanging out. We're having a good time. Next thing I know, I go, where's Mike? Mike's gone. Where did Mike go? Greg texts me. This is the main event of day one.
Mike's notorious for this, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. But Greg sends me a text during the main event of day one. Freaking him and Mike ringside. Literally my response was shit in all caps. That's what it was. Right? And then after that, I've seen pictures. Mike's backstage. Mike is with Rhea Ripley. Mike might as well have signed a WWE contract. That's where he was. So,
and by the way, that's probably only a matter of time.
Oh, it's only a matter of time, 100%. But I see Mike day two and I tell him, I go, dude, you are living the dream. I'm living through you. Every photo I saw, Mike had a permanent smile on his face the entire time. I was just happy for him because literally that's what I would want it to be doing. I was so happy to be there again. Thank you, Andrea and John setting the whole thing up. We had such a great time in the suite, just hanging out, watching all the matches, having fun, being together. Mike took it another level. He was on another level just all weekend. I mean, look, Greg is Greg. Greg is amazing. Everything that he's been able to do. Like when Greg was showing up in the segments with Austin, I was expecting Mike to just be in the background, and he wasn't, so I was a little sad about that. But that's just how much he was everywhere. And, dude, I was just so happy for you. Because as a wrestling fan since I was a kid, that's the dream. That was the absolute dream. Thanks, and that Rhea Ripley.
I met the champ. Gary, just to echo what Paris said, I was so happy to see Paris and Danny live and in person. Of course, Andrea and John Drake. But, I mean, Gary, I'll tell you straight up. They gave me the pass.
I saw the all-access.
All-access. No supervision needed, Gary. Yes. And that meant...
Well, I would take issue with that part, but I'm glad you got the badge.
No supervision needed, Gary. And that meant I'm going everywhere and anywhere, okay? And I was flashing this badge all around.
It's nice to have the VIP badge.
Pointing at it, right? And people were like, come on in. Have a great time, Mr. Howard. Walked up. I said, you know what, Gary? I want to see what it looks like next to the cage on day two. I got up. I might as well should have touched the cage. That's how close I was, Gary. Experience of a lifetime.
There it is.
No, I'm very, very happy for you. Look, like I said, I very much enjoyed your, here's a tweet. All your tweets on Instagram. It's not just from you, but Greg and Paris and John and Andrea were all, you guys clearly were having the time of your lives. So I was very, I was stuck at home changing, diapers and thinking about what might have been if I had followed your career path and ridden Greg's coattails. I mean, look.
That's me at the finale. Yep. Uh-huh. Just a couple of, I'm on TV, Gary. I'm on TV having a great time.
That's where you want to be ringside, because I saw some other people posting pictures of, like, up in their executive suites. And those suites are nice, but, like, you're so far back from the ring, like you're basically watching it on the jumbo screens, right? Because the actual ring itself, you're too far away to see what's going on.
So I have to add to that, because that was kind of the running joke the whole night was, or like, look, we spent enough money to be up here where we are. I'm not watching it on the screen. I'm looking at the ring. I don't care how small it might be. It was a decent enough view, but I definitely caught myself looking up at the big screen multiple times. But man, again.
Ringside.
Oh my God, Mike just had it going. But
Paris, didn't I see that you got like fucking floor seats for a Laker game or something as well? Like, weren't you on the court?
We talked about that last week.
Yeah, Xbox invited me because it was the Lakers' 75th anniversary celebration, and Xbox had like these custom Series S's. So they invited me and a few other creators. We were up in a suite at crypto.com arena. And then after the game, we got to go down on the floor. Had my son with me, so he was just over the moon. But
you guys are fucking living the life. When I go to Walgreens, it's a big deal. I get to go to Walgreens, pick up some Funyuns and my prescription. I'm surprised I don't fucking Instagram that. Hashtag blessed.
Gary, I'll say one last thing on this this whole weekend that we just had. After everything we've been through with the pandemic and having to be separated and all that, this was like that first... It just felt like things were back to normal and we were all just together and everybody was just having a good time. Yeah. I mean, that was the most important part about it. Like, I don't even think I talked about a video game that entire weekend. It was all about wrestling and just hugs and smiles. That's all.
That's great. I'm very glad. It's human connection. That's what it's all about.
Human connection. It was great to be back. And of course, we have a whole lot of fun and positive stuff to talk about because myself and Paris went hands-on with Minecraft Legends, which was releasing later this month. And of course, we're going to give you our thoughts and impressions off our early demo experience. And then we have so much more to talk about. But let's jump into it because, of course, this is the Kinda Funny XCast. We post each and every Thursday at 6 a.m. West Coast, Best Coast time on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames, RoosterTeeth.com, and, of course, on podcast services around the globe. Don't forget, Kinda Funny is now Epic Games Partners, which means if you're buying games off the Epic Games Store, if you're upgrading your look in Fall Guys or Rocket League, or if you're buying the Season Pass off the Fortnite Store, please use our Epic Creator code, Kinda Funny, at checkout to help support the team in a brand new way. And of course, talking about support, we always like to thank those who support us, whether you're watching the show live, being recorded, or any of our shows live recorded, thanks to Patreon. Thank you all so much for watching and supporting over there. And of course, to our Patreon producers for the month of April, like Tripod Double Plus Plus and Delaney Twining. Thank you both so much for your support being our Patreon producers. And of course, this week, the Kinda Funny XCast is sponsored by Shady Rays and Evil Dead Rise, but we'll tell you all about that in just a little bit. Guys, before we get to the big preview of Minecraft Legends, I wanted to go around the table and talk about what we've been playing lately, because I've gotten my hands on some games that I think will make you smile. Gary, let me tell you a tale about Rock-Kay City. Crime boss Rock-Kay City. Gary Witta, this game is bad. but it's so bad I can't stop
thinking. Oh, it's bad?
About it. Oh, Gary, it is not a good video game.
But is it so bad it's good bad, or is it just bad?
It's so bad it makes me want to play more of it, Gary.
So tell me about that.
So I turned it on, Gary, and I didn't know what to expect, right? I knew it was going to be a first-person shooter. I knew it was going to have 80s action stars.
Right. It's got Chuck Norris and Michael Madsen.
Exactly, right. They have the big names that you thought you would want to see, right? And I jumped in, and the first thing you get thrown into is almost a Payday heist situation. Okay, it's a heist gone wrong. You're up on top of the roof.
Yeah, isn't it the tutorial?
Exactly. Right, yeah. You're shooting off the cops, trying to hold out until the big helicopter arrives and you get off. Or maybe it's a van. I don't remember. But it has this vibe of like, oh, man, is this going to be Payday where we're doing heists and I'm sneaking into places, infiltrating different banks and like opening up vaults? No. It quickly becomes a weird situation where it's a business management sim meets like Payday heist, but it's also the worst heist because there's 8 enemies that you murder and then go back to the van and it's over within a matter of like 3 minutes. You also recruit different poorly named bad guys like Rock Hard and 8 Ball. It's Blackjack. It's some unreal stuff there, Gary. Voice acting, awful. From all of your favorite stars, it's as if they were given the script the day of. And they just said, we'll take one.
Where's
my
check?
That's great. Vanilla Ice is in this. But it's for some reason, Gary, I can't stop thinking about it.
Interesting.
And I don't know what it is. I'm going to definitely go back and probably play all the way through because I'm just a nutcase like that. But it is, it's wild.
I mean, when I first saw the trailer, I got kind of a Saints Row vibe from it, right? Mm. That seems to be kind of what they're going for. But as I said to you before the show, so I played it. This weekend, I tried to play a bunch of games that I've been meaning to get to, and I got like halfway through the tutorial on this, and you know, and I was like, you know what, I don't give a fuck about any of this, and I just stopped playing.
I just didn't care.
Like, and it's like the same as the new Saints Row, which was also a misfire, right? That, you know, I used to love the old Saints Row 3 and 4, two of my favorite games I've ever played. The new one did not hit the mark. This kind of feels like another, like, again, they're trying too hard to be edgy and fun and, ooh, look what we're doing. I don't care. Like, again, we said out there, like, just give me fucking GTA 6. GTA or GTFO?
Yeah, I love that.
There's no, like, GTA is the only one of these games that fucking means anything. Everything else, it's like, do you want the real $10,000 Rolex with the fucking certificate of authenticity from Geneva, Switzerland? Or do you want the one out of the fucking $10 knockoff from the suitcase and the guy in Times Square? Because that's what these games are. They're the knockoff Rolex.
If you've played it, let me know in the comments what you think. It is so bad that I want to continue on for some apparent reason. I'll
probably keep
stop
playing
after
it?
Night 3, but I have to go back for night 2, Gary. I played 3 hours of it. I can't get enough. I need more. I don't know what.
Interesting.
I gotta go
I
back.
I wonder if there's
see,
a lot other games.
Does it get better? Maybe that's what
this
I'm
would be an interesting
for.
One for the comments. Like what? I'm trying to think of like other games that are like, because I can think of plenty of movies that are so bad they're good.
So bad. Yeah.
You can just like enjoy how bad they are. But like, what other games are there? Like, what's a game that's like really bad, but like you still want to keep playing it? Because I can't. That almost feels like a new category to me. Like, so bad it's good gaming.
Biomutant.
Okay.
Biomutant was so bad, but I wanted to just keep going because I really wanted that cute weasel fox thing to just be better. And I suffered through the just awful fake dialogue because they didn't want to voice act any of the lines, so they just muttered into the microphone.
Oh, God.
And I kept going, Gary, because I wanted to see if the open world would get any better, if the base, taking over bases would get any better. I needed it. And that was another bad game I can think of like that, Gary.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't know. Ever since I saw Rock Acid, I was like, don't we already have Saints Row? Like, does there need to be another one of these? Somebody apparently decided yes. It's amazing to me when you think about like how hard it is to get anything made, like all these different, like you got to do, you know, proposals and presentations, and you go through like a whole green light committee. Like, to get a game made and into production is really, really hard. And you see stuff like this comes to market and you're like, how does that happen? Like, who thought this was a good idea? So it's bad.
It's bad.
Okay.
Bad. Gary, let me tell you about one good game before I ask Paris what he's been playing. Deceive Inc. is a 3v3 player versus player social deception game, which I really have been digging. It's a first-person shooter in a very cool, like, 70s, 80s aesthetic, kind of Fortnite-y look. But really what it is you get put into this cool map, great level design.
Okay.
And your goal is to, of course, you will take disguises from different NPCs, whether they be staff, whether they be security, whether they just be human beings walking around the mall or like cool different cityscapes, right? And you're supposed to hide and find out where the other team is by what they're doing, but also break down through security walls and get, we'll call it the golden purse, right? And then you got to get out of there with the money and escape safely, right?
Okay, that could
and
be
so
interesting.
It's really fun of like trying to pretend to be an NPC with your team, walking around, getting towards those security checkpoints that you have to get through and then get to the next stage while also noticing, hey, that person's looking a little suspect. I should go after them and see if they're bad. You know what I mean? And so it's this fun blend of trying to disguise yourself and pretend to be an NPC while also figuring out where the other teams are and how you can stop them during the gameplay.
Kind of sounds like a mashup of like Hitman and Among Us.
Yes,
but with,
yes,
with shooter vibe. I don't know. That's well interesting. Said. At least it's something different.
Yeah.
You know, again, I always want to see people try new ideas.
Something different, Gary. And you know, in the first-person shooter world, I love those games. I'm always looking for who's trying something different, something new. This game caught my eye, and I've been enjoying this the past 2 weeks a lot.
Okay.
So I encourage people to check that one out. Paris Lilly, what have you been playing lately? Because we haven't asked in a while.
So it's funny. I fell down a rabbit hole of I picked up Fallout 3, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to cloud stream it. And it pulled in my old Broken Steel DLC. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to mess around with it for a little bit. Yes. I got sucked right in. And I started playing that. And then, shout out to Barrett. Excellent coverage for Jedi Survivor. Along with Danny, he also did over at Game Tag Radio and many others. There's so much coverage out there that came out. I'm like, let me jump back into Fallen Order so I can, you know, get refreshed before Survivor comes out at the end of the month. So been doing that as well. And I've also been playing something that I can't talk about yet. Other than I will just simply say it's a free-to-play shooter, and I'm intrigued.
Oh, I'm intrigued, Gary.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued by it. They're doing something traditional but different at the same time. And obviously when all these embargoes, there's so many damn embargoes now, but when the embargo for that one comes up, obviously we'll talk about it here as well. But I'm intrigued by it for sure.
Okay, I like that. Paris, oh, don't say anything. I hope it's ExoMecha.
One other thing. I know this is the Xbox show.
Yeah. But,
you know, I do listen to PS I Love You XOXO.
Okay.
And I would just simply, or did he say this? No, he said this on Kind of Funny Games Daily. No, he did say it on XO. Anyways, Greg Miller, I do still play my PSVR 2, and I am having a good time with it. So stop telling me just because I'm not tweeting about it every 5 seconds that I've thrown it into a drawer, because that is not true.
I'm glad.
I hear that's doing poorly. PSVR 2.
I was going to ask Paris if he's still playing his. There's a lot of scuttlebutt on the internet. I think, you know, that's usually the vocal minority, Gary, of like saying, oh, the PSVR 2 is dead. The people that want it, I think, are playing it, Gary. But I don't know. I don't know.
We're also just very used to when Paris gets a new piece of hardware, him posting about it all the time.
Like, never stop.
Steam Deck, you know? So we're just, you know, just wanted to know. We were concerned that he wasn't posting about it.
I know. When he literally called me out by name on that, I was like, wait, what? No, I am still playing it. No, I'm enjoying it. I've actually been playing Moss Book 2 on there, which is another game that came out at launch. It's good. It's fine. And again, I'm new to VR, so all this stuff is new to me. So I might be the exception to the rule when it comes to that. But yeah, I'm still enjoying it.
One day, the new Firewall will come out, and we'll play that.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking
forward
to that one.
That game I'm really excited about. That's Rainbow
Six. That's a shooter, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Rainbow Six Siege, but a shooter in VR, and it's a ton of fun.
We're still waiting for that killer app, like the VR game that's like, oh, you got to play it. I still don't think that's happened.
I hope it's this one, because I played the first one, and I thought that's the one you got to play if you had the chance.
To me, the best experience I've ever had in VR, still to this day, is Star Trek Bridge Crew. That is so much fun. It's perfect for VR. I used to love being the captain. I'd only ever play as a captain. I refuse to be one of the subservient positions. I'm fucking taking orders from anyone. I'm giving
the
orders.
Captain.
Yeah, I belong in the captain's chair.
Yeah, agreed.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think I'd be a good Starfleet captain.
You're the best, Gary.
I would be good.
Exactly.
I would be good.
Especially if you're on a -5 day, you know we're going to get into it. You know what I mean?
My friend...
If you came out on -5, you'd be like, we're about to do something bad.
My friend Todd Stashwick plays Captain Shaw on the captain of the Titan on the new season of Star Trek Picard, and he kept it quiet because I think he had to. Then like the first day he like posted a picture of it instead of him sitting in the chair on the bridge in the Starfleet uniform. And I texted him, "You motherfucker." I was so jealous. Because that's the dream. That is the dream, is the captain's chair.
Look, I know we're supposed to start talking about video games and all that, but
now we'll get to it.
I have to pause on that for just a second. The fact that that's your friend is awesome. Dude, he is so good.
He's a very talented actor in that role
on Picard. Honestly, this season of Picard has just been some of the best Star Trek they've done in a very long time. Really good.
I like that.
Yeah.
Gary, what have you been playing lately? We haven't got to catch up in a little bit. I wanted to see. I know you're a busy man. Have you made any time to play anything lately?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could make time. I could manufacture time to play games, but I have to find it where I can. This weekend, I did have a couple of hours where I could sit down and play some stuff. Spent the first half an hour updating everything, as you do.
Yes,
downloading all the updates. And there's a bunch of games that I've been meaning to play in my backlog for such a long time. I'm tired of talking about how I've got so many games in my backlog. I'm going to do something about it. So I did like a kind of, I'll do a quick gong show. Like I'm gonna boot up each one of these games that I wanted that I've been meaning to play, and I'm gonna give them 10 minutes each. And I'm sorry if it's brutal. If your game takes longer than 10 minutes for me to like grok it, it's just not gonna happen for me right now. I've got to find a way to clear this backlog. And so there's a few games. So Rock Hay City was one of them. Like I didn't even get through the tutorial. Like I just had this moment of like, it wasn't like, oh, this game is bad or I don't like it. It was just like I just don't care. Like I want to play GTA 6. Why am I playing this? And I didn't even get through the tutorial. I just quit out, uninstalled it, moved on. Need for Speed Unbound is a game that I've been looking, because I love racing games. I really enjoy racing and driving games, particularly ones where it's like street racing against the cops. Like, you know, like Need for Speed Hot Pursuit 2 is one of my all-time favorite racing games. The Burnout games. I just want to like fucking go and like smash stuff up and get involved in like crazy crashes and like and flip police cars over. Like those are the kind of games I want to play. Need for Speed Unbound is that kind of game.
Yeah.
Did one race. I'm like, I just not feeling it. I just wasn't feeling it. I don't know what it is, but like, I wasn't feeling anything. So that didn't work either. What else did I play? I ended up playing, I'm still trying to finish up Coffee Talk. Because Coffee Talk 2 is coming
out.
Episode
2. Well, I've got to finish. Talk about it in just a
little bit.
Got to finish
Coffee Talk so I can get to Coffee Talk 2. I ended up I didn't even get through the Gong Show. Like I think I played like three Gong Show games, like 10 minutes each. Got bored of all of them, so I just want to go back to a game that I know I enjoy. So I played like a Coffee Talk for an hour.
Good call. There you go. Yeah. Gary. Okay.
I know I'm very hard to please at the moment.
You know, you gave a great recommendation that I've seen a lot of people now praise, and I want to give you your flowers and shout out. On Rail. We loved that game. Remember
Unrailed?
That?
Yeah.
Yep. That was a great one, Gary. That was a great call.
Great party game. Yep.
Here's what I'm going to hit you back with. I want you to look up when you get home.
Go on.
Dredge.
Oh, okay. I've heard good things about it.
People hype up
horror
Dredge
fishing
right
game,
now.
Right?
Horror fishing game. And that's I think that's you, Gary. I think you're going to like this one because I know you're not the biggest horror guy, but I think it's just right up your alley. You know?
Oh,
what I mean?
One thing that I will, and again, I know that it's one thing that I did really enjoy. And again, I know it's the Xbox show. The latest batch of Mario Kart DLC tracks, really good. I'll go this far.
Tell me,
there's actually a Rainbow Road in the new set that I don't hate. It's the most acceptable. You know how Rainbow Road is like the one that really is designed to make you rage every time.
Yeah,
this one's all right. It's actually within the. Don't get me wrong. Mario Kart in general is still the fucking worst game ever made, and the people who designed it deserve to be lined up and shot.
You just gotta be better.
It's nothing to do with that. You've got to be more lucky. That's the key.
Oh wow! You're gonna say that to Barrett, who's the goat of
that
Mario
is a
Kart.
Game. Mario, don't get me started. Mario Kart is a game that punishes skill and rewards people who are bad at it.
Okay.
And it's the most RNG bullshit racing
about Mario
game.
Mario Party.
They're both as bad as each other.
I love it.
They're
love
both
it.
Equally bad. Mario Party is just more overt in the way that it does it. Like Mario Party will literally say, "I know. Let's do some total bullshit
mess it up." Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Don't get me started. But the new Mario Kart tracks are quite good. I enjoy.
Shout out to Yoshi's Island. That's a good one.
Yeah, Yoshi's Island is. Yeah. I read a thing that said like it's the best new Mario Kart track they've done in a really really long time. Okay. The London one I enjoyed. Which I think is from Mario Kart Tour, the iPhone game. The new Rainbow Road is really good. And there's a Christmas, I don't know why, I guess it doesn't matter, but there's a Christmas one.
Yeah, you gotta put it in there.
Set as well. Why not?
Okay. I like that.
I find it really weird, like doing Christmassy things When it's not Christmas?
Yeah.
You ever heard like a Christmas song in July? It's just weird.
You listen to Mariah Carey any day of the week. You know?
Well, I mean, in general, yeah, but I don't want to hear All I Want Is Christmas, All I Want For Christmas Is You in fucking July.
Okay. I get that. Well, guys, it was great to catch up. It was great to see what everybody's been playing, share some of the things that we've been playing. Hopefully the audience can share some good game recommendations for all of us, or maybe we can put them on.
Oh, and looking forward, you and I were talking before the show, because I just got a code for it, and I know you guys are going to be playing the new EA PGA Tour. We're going to get into that this coming week.
Going to hit the links together.
Yeah.
Paris, download this with your EA free trial, thanks to EA
Play. Yeah, 10 free hours.
10 free hours if you don't want to buy the game, everybody. I tell you all this all the time. Play these sports games with that 10 free hours. Get your fill, and then decide if you want to buy the game, because this is totally worth it. But, guys, we're going to talk about Minecraft Legends in our hands-on preview right after a word from our sponsors.
Shout out to Evil Dead Rise for sponsoring this episode. You can get your tickets now to see Evil Dead Rise in theaters April 21st. People are saying this movie is absolutely terrifying, and I personally can't wait to see it in a theater, because there's you know, few things in life are as special as watching a real scary horror movie surrounded by people freaking out with you. Moving the action out of the woods and into the city, Evil Dead Rise tells a twisted tale of two estranged sisters played by Sullivan and Sutherland, whose reunion is cut short by the rise of flesh-possessing demons, if I had a nickel, thrusting them into a primal battle for survival as they face the most nightmarish version of family imaginable. New Line Cinema and Renaissance Pictures present a return to the iconic horror franchise, and we are hitting entirely new levels of fear here with this one. I don't know if you've seen the trailers for this, but wow, you definitely should. You look like you need a little bit of fear in your life. And then you can go to EvilDeadRiseMovie.com to get your tickets now to see Evil Dead Rise in theaters April 21st. Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Do you want to look as cool as I look? Yes, you do. And you can. You can take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an unbeatable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair that I've ever worn in my life. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. You can wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. Exclusively for you listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. You can go to shadyrays.com and use the code KINDOFUNNY. You can get 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. You can try for yourself the shades that are rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Promo code KINDOFUNNY at shadyrays.com.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Let's chat about it because Paris, unfortunately, but fortunately, this was another preview that happened 2 weeks ago, so I know it's not super fresh and hot on our minds, but we did get to jump into Minecraft Legends and have a hands-on experience with this upcoming title for you Xbox gamers out there and everyone around the globe, because it is going to be a really fun one. So Paris, we have now seen what this action strategy game with a twist finally is. There's no more questions in my mind what this game is. I finally understand it, and I'm going to try to do my best to explain it with you to our audience, but also share our experience, because it's interesting, Gary. It is Age of Empires RTS, right? It is a real-time strategy game where you build a base, you have unit creation, you have unit management, resource management, but at the same time, it's all seen and done through one single character, you, the hero. So there's a lot going on. Instead of the over-the-top controlling with a mouse and keyboard creating things, it's you as the hero running around this
like
cool
a first-person RTS.
But you're third-person.
Third-person RTS.
Third-person RTS. You're the hero. But it's interesting. The hero can do so much. But also, the hero's not allowed to damage buildings on the opposing team. So you can chop units, you can resource management, but when I'm up next to your base, I can't do any damage, which is very interesting.
So how do you win?
You have to use your units to take down the opposing team's base at the end of it all.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So we're going to talk about it right now. Paris, I gave a brief summary of all of that. Why don't you give me what you think of the game? What is this game for everybody that doesn't know? And then let's talk about our experience, because we got to play single player with the campaign. And then I know you and I both did a 4v4 multiplayer match. So let's talk about everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you kind of recapped it short and brief very well, that, you know, it's like an action strategy game. You're the hero, and then you're doing resource management. You're doing base building. You're creating like your troop, so to speak. And there's different variations of those who have their own abilities. Like some would be good at building. Some would be good at actually using to attack. Some would be good at destroying like the other base, things like that. Right. There's that single player component of it, the story mode, which you can play in co-op, but then there's also that PvP mode as well. This is also cross play. So whether you're on Xbox, you're on PC, you're on the cloud, you're on the Switch, you're on the PlayStation, doesn't matter. You're all going to be able to play together, which is fantastic as well. And I think one of the biggest and best things about this is every time you come into a new match or session that you're doing, the world is procedurally generated. So it's constantly changing. So a strategy that you might have in one particular match may not simply work in the next one, because just the geography of the map is completely different, right? For me going into it, it was interesting. When you go through that opening tutorial, and they're throwing all those different commands at you, I was like, man, am I really gonna remember all this, right? As you're going through it. But as you start playing, and I had about a good 2 hours, I believe you probably had the same amount of time as I did, Mike, but I had about a good 2 hours with it. And once you're actually in there and playing, the commands kind of come to you more naturally. And it felt fine being able to do those. I didn't have any issues with that. But that sweet spot is going to be the PvP, I think. That was, for me, that was the thing where, because, you know, we talked about this a bunch, and Gary, I'm sure you can relate to this as well. The thing about Minecraft Dungeons that really grabbed me was that was kind of the game that got me and all my kids together to play. Right. Sure, we're going to be able to do the story mode in co-op, but it is that PvP mode. And I had an interview with Craig, who's the principal design director, as well as Dennis, who's the executive producer, both from Mojang. And, you know, I was joking around with them that PvP is going to forge some friendships and is going to end a few friendships at the same time, right? It's going to create some family feuds and the whole thing, because everybody has to have a job that you need to do, right? Like, I immediately, when I played, I was like, I'm doing resources. That's my job. I'm going to do my job to the best of my abilities, but other people are going to need to do their jobs as well. And you're going to come into these different scenarios in the PvP, whereas if you're not all working together as a team, if everybody's not in sync doing what they need to do, that other team, and the other team is, they're going to stomp you. It's just 100%. That's what's going to happen. That's what the Mojang guys did to us when we were playing, right? So I can definitely see a lot of fun being happening out of this. There's going to be a lot of different strategies that you're going to be able to come up with this, but there's also going to be some moments where some people are going to be butting heads as well. I had a blast personally playing it, because I see the potential of what this is going to be. Again, it's Minecraft. It's family friendly. But it can get complex at the same time with the different strategies. Like you said, the various resources that you're going to have to collect, the different building tactics that you can do, defensive tactics that you're going to do, the offensive tactics that you're going to do, the different troops that you're going to try to create. Not to mention, with all that said, you have the piglins, which creates, I'm saying that right, I believe, the piglins. But they throw in that PvE element into the PvP mode as well, because you have to worry about them too. You know what I mean? So there's all these different things that potentially could be happening when you're in a PvP session, and the world's procedurally generated. So it's not like you can just remember the map. It's always going to change. It's going to be dynamic every time you go in to play. And I think, to me, that was the sweet sauce of what Minecraft Legends is going to be that PvP mode. And, you know, we did a little bit of story as well, but I didn't get enough into it to really give a true opinion on how good or bad that's going to be. But that PvP mode's going to be it, man. That for me, anyways, I think it's going to be a blast.
That's really interesting because I'm on the opposite side, Gary. I think the winning formula is the campaign and not the PvP. To touch on the PvP with Paris, I agree. I had a ton of fun. Don't get me wrong. The PvP is going to be a good time. But where I come from with the RTS world, I'm so used to Warcraft and Starcraft where we're all individuals on one team building towards something, right? I build my base, you build your base, then we meet up, we build as a team, or we fight as a team. This game is simply you share everything, right? And communication is going to be key. My team did not communicate, right? We came into it off of a break. Some people chatted with each other. Some people didn't, right? And that led to us not knowing each other's roles, not having a clear and concise game plan on what we're doing, right? Who is that base builder? Are you going to get resources? Are you scouting out and actually doing something? Hey, what are you up to, right? Like, trying to bring four minds together without a clear and concise communication and knowing your role definitely deterred me from the fun that I wanted to have, right? If it was, Mike, build your own base, handle your own resources, build your own units, and then come meet Gary and Paris at a center spot, and then we go, would have had way more fun. Me sharing resources and sharing all that definitely deterred me from the fun that I thought I would have. Now, mind you, of course, the next time I play, I'll play with my friends. We'll all be talking, and it will be a totally different situation. I think it's really cool, like Paris brought up, the procedurally generated maps. Every single time you play, it will be unique and different, right? That team put a lot of effort into making that balanced as well, Gary, right? Because resources have to be put in the right spots. The piglin bases have to be put in the right spots. There's chests all around that you can get to help get you extra material, right? Like, all of that has to be balanced in a procedurally generated map. That's a whole lot of variables on that, right? Also, another cool one is there's technically four mounts in this game. You'll always be on a horse at first, but you can go find three other mounts that do different things, right? There's a tiger that runs faster. There's a beetle that can climb up the sides of walls, Gary. And so I got on this beetle. I found you find these mounts in the middle of nowhere as you're exploring the world, right? Yeah. I got on this beetle. I'm climbing up the side of trees to get away from an enemy. I'm climbing up and over their base walls to get into their base, right? There's also a toucan or a bird that will fly, right? So there's like really cool ideas of like, hey, go encourage exploration with your family and friends, right? They're going to go have a good time. They'll find some chests. Maybe they'll find some different resources that we need. Like, I thought that was cool. But when it came down to, hey, we have to share the same conversation and share everything, that's where it fell apart for me on my side, right? And that, sure, is just that one preview. Maybe it'll be different. But why I really took away, loved, was the single-player campaign. And now, the cool part, like Paris said, right? If you're on new-gen hardware, you can play up to four-player co-op. If you're on old-gen, you'll be able to play two-player co-op. And I love that because I think about you and your daughter, Gary, right? Like, for me, I think sharing that moment in Minecraft Dungeons was the big thing, right? Paris had all his family members. You had your family members. Like, you guys got to share that experience, and it was a together thing, right? As opposed to now, you get to share that experience in an RTS, where it's usually harder to explain RTS games to newcomers onto it, right? So I think the way they laid it out on the tutorial on how you get briefed, all the systems in play, on top of that, beautiful, cute cutscenes, right? All voice acted, super fun and cute in the Minecraft world, coming hot off of the Mario movie. Like, I think kids are really going to enjoy this. And we talk about that, right? Like, expanding the Minecraft world to more and what they're doing with these, like, fairy tales within that, right? Because Minecraft, you make your own story out of it. But we're also telling these cute fairy tales. I thought they nailed it with telling this cute story about the piglins coming into the overworld and you and all of your, you know, what used to be mobs that were enemies now need to team up and become friends, whether they be the creepers, the skeletons, or the zombies, and how you do that in an RTS with this big open world map, right, Gary? Like, it's very interesting. It's not, hey, little mini campaign vignettes like it comes out of Age of Empires 2. You're in a large open world that you go from point A, you go over here, you got to go stop that piglin army, go to this point now over here, build a base, get this piglin army. Like, I really liked what I saw out of the single player campaign, and that is what's going to bring me in the most on this one.
It's quite overwhelming. You've come at me with a lot here, and I feel like I've gone from knowing nothing about Minecraft Legends to now knowing a lot about it, but still not feeling like I understand. I feel like this is one of those games you've got to pick it up and play it to really understand.
That's what I was going to say,
Gary.
Yeah,
there's so much. There's so much to it.
But and the only question for me is, the only thing I care about in relation to this game is, can I sit on the couch with my kid and play it together? Can we play it together? Because that was obviously the magic of Minecraft Dungeons. But again, Minecraft Dungeons, very easy to understand, right? It's Minecraft flavored Diablo. Yeah. And like, once you understand that, you can just lock right into it. This, I felt like there's no like one sentence description of what this is. You can, I get it right away. Like, you guys just talked for 10 minutes and I feel like I'm none the wiser. Like,
yeah.
It's a bit RTS. It's a bit, I don't know. It's a little bit of everything. I think you have to sit and play it to understand what it is. I think my kid will totally she's smart enough and old enough now that she can easily pick up a game that is as sophisticated as this. Whether or not she'll even want to, I don't know. She's kind of migrated off of Minecraft now. All she wants to play is the Stanley Parable for some reason. She's obsessed with the Stanley Parable. Right. But maybe this
great
gets
sense of humor.
Maybe this gets her back into Minecraft. I don't know. But like, can I sit on the couch with my kid and play this together, or do we need to be on two different Xboxes to play it?
Paris, I believe you can. Now, I might be wrong on that, but I believe they have the system set up where you can play on the couch together.
Yeah, I believe you can too. And if I'm misspeaking on that, I do apologize. But I'm pretty sure it's been 2 weeks, but I'm pretty sure they said that you could do that. But I will go back to something that you were saying, Mike, because obviously it is interesting that we're looking at it from two different perspectives. But I think to Gary's point with playing with kids, you can kind of take one of your kids. Like, I think this is a nice gateway into this type of strategy game, right? For kids, where you can just assign one job to them. You go do this while I go do that. You just do that, and we'll accomplish the goal that we're trying to do, versus telling them they got to do 20 different things at once. You can make it that complex on yourself if you so choose, but with the co-op aspect of it, you can just give your kids specific jobs while you have your own job, and, you know, be it in the campaign mode or be it in the PvP mode, you can have success that way. But again, playing against the Mojang guys, you can see on that PvP side where it can get extremely complex. Like, they were setting up the freaking catapults and they're shooting shit at us, and then they're coming and raiding and tearing down. But like, it was crazy, some of the stuff that they were doing. But again, to the other point that you were making, Mike, that it wasn't your favorite mode, I think the advantage that I had, even when I played for the first time, you know, I'm playing with Danny. I'm playing with a couple other people that we all knew each other, right? Yeah. So we were instantly already used to communicating. So it made more sense. So when I translate that, bringing it home with my kids, obviously we're going to communicate. You know what I mean? Because we obviously know each other. And I think that synergy of communication that you can have in PvP can add a layer to it that can be pretty fun, because you're going to be able to do some unique and complex things if you guys are all working together. Like, you know, there's even scenarios where they were talking about how you'll see people that will immediately just gather resources, and their first thing to do is they're just adding multiple layers to their base, right? So that by the time the other opposition wants to come and attack, they're going to have to go through multiple layers, while then you're coming around the back end and you're attacking them and creating capital. Like, that's the kind of stuff that you're going to be able to do in that PvP. And again, depending on how the procedurally generated world is at that time, is going to also dictate what type of strategy you're going to have too. So again, I think what is it, $40 at launch? I think this is such a great value add. I mean, we'll obviously see once we get the final game and review it, but just from this preview, hands on for a couple hours, it's what I thought it was going to be, as far as I go, like, yep, this is something me and my kids are going to have fun playing. And definitely I felt that in those 2 hours.
Yeah, that's the big positive that I take away, is like, we once again return to the well of Minecraft to show off a new style of game that maybe Minecraft kids or Minecraft families might not think about, right? Minecraft Dungeons was a hit, showing you what a top-down dungeon crawling action RPG could be.
Yeah, I mean, right? I like what they're doing with Minecraft with these brand extensions. Like, you know, like Minecraft was kind of like my first RPG, right? And this is like my first RTS. It's like a nice gateway drug into different kinds of games, because the Minecraft universe makes it accessible for kids. And obviously, I wouldn't say dumbed down, but to some extent simplified, to like, because they know that kids are going to be a big part of the audience for any Minecraft game. I mean, I presume it will be on Game Pass, so, you know, I'll pick it up. It will entirely depend on whether or not my kid wants to play it. I've got really no interest in playing it on my own, because I honestly don't care about the Minecraft universe at all. But if my kid's interested, I will definitely see if it's a viable thing for us to play together. It will be interesting to see if, because I mean, one of, I think one of the big lessons learned from Minecraft Dungeons was families love to play this game together.
Yeah.
So if they, I'm hoping that they have brought that over and said, look, well, listen, one of the big hits of Minecraft Dungeons was families playing together. Let's make sure that Minecraft Legends checks that box as well. So we'll see if it does.
And that's what Paris is saying, right? It's like, together is the big statement out of this. Coming out of this, this is the game that you play together because you share everything, you work together for the common goal, right? And I think that is the big positive out of this. And what people are really going to enjoy is getting assigned a role or figuring out different ways, but knowing, hey, I'm in charge of base building, right? And I'm going to have fun building that base while my buddy Washi is going to be running around getting us different resources, right? Or there's Gary. Hey, go recon and fight off the piglins. Get us extra resources there.
Yep.
Paris, you're going to push up and you're going to go see the extra base. Like, I think together is the main takeaway from this. And it ran really well, Paris, right? Like, of course, we didn't see everything perfectly, but from what we got to play, the game ran really well. It looked really good. What they did on a controller aspect side of things, when it's normally a mouse and keyboard RTS world, it runs really well. And that is because you are the hero. You're controlling one unit that then can call upon all the units that you build with a nice big radius circle where you can call in all your minions. You can control them with very easy, simplified button presses of go attack this wall, attack these humans over here, attack their base, right? Like, I thought that was very well done on a controller side of things. Resource management, again, was very well done. You get little fairies, we'll call them, they have correct names, but you put them down next to ore. They mine the ore for you. You don't have to stand there. You can run away. You go find redstone. You put down one fairy. It will mine that, right? And so you can get up to a couple of them, and you can explore, mine, and help your team while you keep moving, which I really enjoy.
I'm just thinking about the ways that I traditionally play cooperative games with my daughter. And I'm already thinking about what a shit show this is going to be. Like, when we play Overcooked together, and I'm desperately trying to get her to wash the dishes, but all she wants to do is fucking donuts with the fire extinguisher all around the kitchen.
Yes.
Like, I don't know, maybe the best way to play this will be like one-on-one co-op, and we'll have to go at it together. But the thing is, she's going to kick my ass at it.
Gary, I already had a vision as I was playing, because like I said, resource management is a component to this, where I could see my youngest daughter, I'm telling her, all right, you focus on resources. And again, you share it, to Mike's point, right? So say I need more redstone or I need more wood or something, and I can hear it now. Stop getting wood. We need iron.
Go
get iron. Like, yes. I can hear it already.
Oh, yeah. That's part it's of coming. The fun.
But that's part of the fun of it at the same time. So.
It's literally the conversation I was like, why are you chopping onions? I need tomatoes right now.
Yes. but to Mike's other point, I think they also did a great job with the on the controller, how everything functions on that, the button placement and everything in the control scheme on that. So it is simplified enough that, again, anybody can pick it up and be able to understand it. It's not overly complex where you need to be on a mouse and keyboard to really be able to control things and understand it. But that option is also there as well, because obviously if you hop on a PC, you can have mouse and keyboard support. So far, again, because it's Mojang and then the other studio, and I'm blanking
Blackbird,
on their name.
Blackbird
Interactive, yeah, that made Minecraft Legends. They've done a fantastic job so far.
Yeah, this one gets a thumbs up from me, Gary. It's on Game Pass.
Well, I look forward to giving it a try with my kid if she wants to play, for sure.
I'm impressed with what we saw, and I look forward to its release just here in just a couple of weeks in April. So it's right around the corner, Gary. But let's talk about some more games coming to your Xbox ecosystem, because ID at Xbox had a little mini showcase stream today. 1 hour, of course, hosted by our friends of the show, Mav and Glenn, taking on a new format, Gary. A little something different from the ID at Xbox crew for this little mini showcase. 1 hour, we got to see 9 games with trailers showcasing some fun indie games. We got a nice interview with Geo Morgan from the team over at Vampire Survivors talking about their new DLC and an in-depth look at the last case of Benedict Fox's combat system for all of you to look out for. And this is the game, Gary, that we've been telling you, I think you're going to like that, because, of course, going back to your fun game, The Artful Escape.
Love that.
This is right up that alley with very cool art style. Watching the combat now definitely reminded me more of an Ori situation. So if you like
Ori, that's a great game too.
You're going to like this game, because it is, of course, the fantastical Lovecraftian Metroidvania is what they're calling this one. But it has a combat system very similar to Ori going on here.
Very cool. I mean, cool, as you say, the art style is beautiful.
Yeah, so if you're interested in this game, you want to learn more about the combat, a great little deep dive about 10 minutes of deep dive action into this. But I want to talk about some of the games that we got to see, because we did see 9 trailers for ID at Xbox games coming your way. Of course, Coffee Talk Episode 2 coming out on April 20th.
Yeah, as I mentioned, interesting in Pass. That. Yep, love that.
A little fun one for you, Gary. This one I need you to know about. There's 2 that are must-sees. The Little Guardsman is a must-see. It is a Cartoon Network-type look. So, like, imagine your Cartoon Network, like, bright colors, fun characters, but in a paper please situation where social deduction, you're telling which town folks can come into your castle, what can't, and making sure that they don't cause any sort of trouble.
Okay.
Gary, this game is cute as can be. It is a must-go-see, and they don't have a date for this one yet, but I'm really pumped up. I know Barrett's going to bring up the footage in just a second for everybody watching, but it had something to it where you see it, you hear it, and you go, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, very Cartoon
Network. This is going to be a fun one where she's in charge of the guard tower, letting people in or out of your village, which is really, really great. So keep an eye out for this one, Gary.
Okay. It's like Fisher-Price Papers, please. Yeah, okay.
There you go. And then the next one, the Explorator. This one.
Yes.
Paris.
Explorator.
I think there's an L in there. I might have misspelled it, but take a look. Maybe I'm wrong on that one.
Explorator.
Yeah, I think I misspelled that one on the doc. But when you see it, you're going to love it, because this one, Gary, at first I was like, oh, just a cute little dinosaur walking around. This can be some walking sim. I'm not going to like this. Bang, Gary. Turns into a dope first-person old-school Wolfenstein Doom-looking shooter.
Oh, yeah?
Badass, Gary. Okay. You're going to like this one. This is another must-see and probably going to be a must-play when this one comes out. And I was impressed with what I saw coming out of this one, Gary, as we take a look at the footage from director.
Yeah, right now it looks very indie.
Mr. Barrett Courtney.
But now, all right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that
cell shaded.
I can't even say it, but yes.
Yes. First person shooter, old school Doom and Wolfenstein look, but with cute dinosaurs, a lot of fun first person shooter gunplay. I think people are going to really dig this.
That's really cool.
Thanks to the ID at Xbox.
You wouldn't usually expect that art style and that game style to go together, which is what I think is interesting.
And it worked right there. Yeah. Another, Gary, you missed out on, I believe we didn't get to talk from my experience at GDC. Sulfur is another game just like this with a very cool art style and an old school first person shooter, Counter-Strike type vibe that you would dig as well,
Gary. Okay.
So check out Sulfur. Those are some of the 9 that I saw that I thought really deserve a shout-out.
We saw this before, Sulfur. I remember we showed this on a previous X-Cast.
Uh-huh. Yeah. This reminded me of Sulfur, that Explorator is right.
Yeah.
Paris Lily, I know you watched. Did you see any other out of the 9 that I missed that you want to call out?
Well, yeah. I mean, for me, it was the Coffee Talk 2. I didn't play the first one. I was like, okay. Maybe I need to check out the first one. And the Cassette Beast as well. I think that's an interesting concept.
Cassette Beast.
To check out too, you know, kind of the monsters and the fusion that's going on there. But I mean, I just think overall, again, fantastic hour. You know, shout out to Mav. She's always great when she hosts these events. Just seeing these indie games from ID at Xbox, just overall, I definitely want to check them all out for sure. But that highlight to me was that Explorator. That's the one for me.
Yeah, that looks fun.
I want to play. Yeah.
That, and for me, obviously, the Vampire Survivors DLC is the headline story for me.
And again, what Skybound Games is doing with closer, I can't talk today, I apologize. Closer the Distance.
Yes.
That looks interesting as well. Almost has an As Dusk Falls-esque type of feel to it. So, yeah, interesting.
That one screamed Greg Miller game to me. You know what I mean? Greg Miller loves a story about
what loss. What does that mean? Shit.
Yeah, you know, he likes those. Yeah. I don't want to say it, Gary. That's what he likes. You know what I mean? That's
doomed to fail.
That's him. But yeah, some really cool ones. Shout out to Xbox for trying something different with the ID at Xbox showcase. Something a little different from last year and years previous. A tight hour, 2 hosts talking with a small interview segment. Got a deep dive of one of the games coming very, very soon to, of course, your Xbox ecosystem, and 9 trailers to check out, 9 new games, which is good. Gary, here's one for you as we start rounding out the show and go through some of the smaller news stories. Of course, we love Planet Earth. We love when Xbox takes initiative and does their best to go on a mission to zero and try to lessen their impact on planet Earth. And we got a brand new controller just for you, Gary, that
I saw it. I saw this on social media earlier this week. Yeah.
So to celebrate Earth Day 2023 and continue their mission to lessening Team Xbox's impact on planet Earth, the product team has created the Remix Special Edition Controller. Controller made with one-third reground and reclaimed materials. This controller sports an earth tone look with bright pops of green, calm blues, and a dope tan hand grip with topographical designs. It also includes a rechargeable battery pack, which will release on April 18th for $84.99. Of course, if you're saying to yourself, Mike, what does regrind and reclaimed materials mean? Of course, regrind is a process of mechanically recycling leftover Xbox One generation controller parts into raw material that can be used to partially create new controllers. And of course, post-consumer recycled resins are incorporated from reclaimed materials like automotive headlight covers, plastic water jugs, and CDs. So of course, helping out the environment using some of the older waste, things that they haven't used, into new products, which is always great because we only get one planet Earth, Gary Whitten, and I love when we try our best to protect planet Earth just a little bit. You know, we're trying our best.
Yeah, I like the color scheme.
I love, Gary, I mean, Barrett brought it up, I love this color scheme. I'm surprised how much it grew on me, because when you first look at it, I think a lot of people say, ew, that's weird. But that dark green with the green pop and that wood tone background, or that back grip, just, it grew on me, Gary. It grew on me.
Mm-hmm.
And the rechargeable battery pack. I mean, yes. You got to give kudos to that. Shout
also
out to
good.
Get
yeah,
one of those.
Typically, when you buy a controller, right, you just get, they give you a
little
double A's.
Say
yeah.
Enjoy, is right, Gary. So I like hearing that. Let's go on over to your Xbox Game Pass update for April. We have some new games hitting your way. Of course, out now, you have Loop Hero and Iron Brigade. Paris, did you ever play Loop Hero? I know that game got a whole lot of love a couple years back. Did any of you guys ever play that?
I never did, but I remember it getting a lot of love, though. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Paris, you did play that. What is Loop Hero? What do I need to know about Loop Hero?
Oh, wait, or am I thinking of Loop? I'm thinking of Loot River.
Oh, you thinking Loot River? Yeah,
yeah,
Loot
I'm thinking
River.
Loot because I'm saying
I played Loot River.
Yeah.
Loop Hero, though, I remember. Yeah, I remember Loop Hero getting a lot. I think like Rebecca Valentine and a bunch of people back in the day were like really talking this game up a lot.
I remember this was one that Andy really, really loved.
Yeah.
When it was coming out. And I think when he got a Steam Deck, I think maybe this was like a full on addiction all the time.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Looks like a perfect Steam Deck game, actually.
One of those. On April 12th, you will get Ghostwire Tokyo. Of course, we did do a PS I Love You XOXO review of this game. I said I had a good time with it. It is not a great game, but it is a fun game if you're looking for an open world game that's set in Tokyo with some really cool, like, light horror elements. It's not something that's going to make you jump, but it will give you the creeps when you go into some cool side missions, learning about the urban legends. I liked that one. April 13th, NHL 23 comes to console thanks to EA Play. One of my favorite sports games besides FIFA, Gary. I think FIFA's still the GOAT of sports games, but NHL, there's nothing better and teaming up with your friends and just laying some big hits.
I used to like hockey. Hockey games is, I think, like, hockey is like the only American sport that I enjoy playing as a video game.
Oh, it is a blast, Gary. Yeah. It's so much fun. So please go play World of Shell 3v3, no rules, with your friends. You'll love it. April 18th, Minecraft Legends on cloud, console, and PC. We gave you our preview. Can't wait to give you a review once the game releases later on this month. And of course, coming back on Game Pass, Goat Simulator returns on cloud, console, and PC. So if you're looking to get in some hijinks, some laughter, you got Goat
Always
Sim on it.
Always a good time.
Some heads up for you. Play 10 free hours of EA Sports PGA Tour with early access right now. That went live yesterday as of recording, so you can jump in and hit the links and have some fun with your 10 free hours. I tell you this every time. Take advantage of those EA Play deals where you get 10 hours of those games.
Mm-hmm.
Need for Speed, like you talked about?
Yep.
10 free hours you can play of that. Of course, over on the Game Pass perks side of things, 2 months of Peacock Premium Plus. I'm wearing the sweatshirt, and I got to promote it. Of course, my guy, Greg Miller, host of the WWE. This is awesome show on Peacock. You can watch that exclusively
over there. Some good stuff on
there.
Peacock. That's of where I course. Watch a lot of my Premier League football is on Peacock.
Come on, Gary. You know, I'm watching so much Ted Lasso, Gary. It's unbelievable. I'm crying after every episode. You know.
Well, that's on Apple, but I know. I think they have an Apple deal as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I think they do.
All kinds of freebies.
I took advantage of it.
Oh, get that is right. And then, of course, leaving on April 15th. You have a number of games. Life is Strange, True Colors, Moonglow Bay, which you should definitely check out.
I liked Moonglow. That's one of those cozy games.
That's
I
a cozy Moonglow game.
Bay, yeah.
Panzer Corps 2, Rainbow Six Extraction. If you didn't play that with some of your friends, go check it out. That was the Rainbow Six Siege PvE situation that they built. It is a fun time with your friends for a weekend. Go check that out. I think you'll have a good time. The Long Dark and Rift Breaker. Gary, our final one for you is just a little tease.
Okay.
We don't know if it's real or not.
All right.
Can't give you official confirmation, but I can say that a new storage expansion card could be on the way.
Oh, that's what we
need. A listing on Best Buy spotted Sunday, thanks to Andy Rick Flair on Twitter. This is from Windows Central, the team over there, Windows Central Gaming, shows a 1 terabyte WD Black expansion card for the Xbox Series X and S. While it's currently listed as sold out, I checked 404 page right now over on Best Buy, so not live anymore. This likely means the card will be formally available to purchase sometime soon. The price is also eye-catching as it's $180, which is $40 cut from the usual price
still,
of the Seagate branded version
more than that.
It's still not good.
It's still outrageous. Why is it taking this long? Like, the one thing, I mean, as annoying as it is, you've got to open up the PlayStation and get your screwdriver out to put in the extra storage on the PlayStation. At least there are a lot of options available, and there's price competition because you know it's essentially, you know, it's just what, like an M2 SSD, right? Yes. Anyone can make one of those, and Samsung and, you know, Western Digital, all these companies are making them. I don't know what it is about the Xbox expansion that is it proprietary in some way? Like, why is it taking so long for even one third-party option to come to market? It's taken too long, I think.
Paris Schoolum, tell us what's up.
Well, I mean, to Gary's point, this is probably the biggest mistake that Xbox made this generation was having the proprietary hard drives that they're doing. I mean, at launch, it all made sense. I remember I got to talk to Jason Ronald at launch and explain why they did it. And I'm like, okay. But the fact that here we are 3 years later and they've still not been able to get that price to a reasonable place. And I get there's all kind of factors that's going on. But when you look at what PlayStation was able to do, and I put in more storage in my PlayStation 5, it took me 2 minutes. Done, right? Sure. The expanded storage is a lot easier to plug and play on the Series X and the S, but that price is such a deterrent. Like, when I think about the S, the one thing about the S is I want more storage for it.
Yeah, say it all the time.
But I don't want to spend $200 to do it. That's crazy. At that point, I might as well just have a Series
X. Just get an X, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm exactly with you. I love how easy it is to plug the thing on the back. It reminds me almost of like the old PlayStation 1 memory card. Just like slot it in and you're done.
Yeah.
But the price is so prohibitive. It drives me crazy. And I don't know. I guess there is something proprietary about it. But like, why is it? Did they have like some kind of window of exclusivity? Like third-party manufacturers weren't allowed to make them for a certain amount? Like, why is it only happening now? That's the
I thought that was the
me.
Case. They teamed up with Seagate.
With Seagate,
right?
Yeah.
And then Phil said, like, we're going to open it up now to more people. But we never saw anybody actually do it yet.
Yeah, it's really annoying because, again, the I'm an idiot and I've got too much money. So like, I bought the card at the time and thought nothing
I'm
of it.
Jealous.
And I love having 2 terabytes in my Series X at home.
No, you do.
But it is, for me, where the real bottleneck is, and people have heard us talk about this before, the real bottleneck is the Series S. The Series S is a fantastic machine, except for that 512 gig hard drive. It's not enough. It just isn't. And, again, there's no point buying it. But two things need to happen. Either the storage, the third-party storage options need to get down to competitive, like closer to $100. As soon as you say $180, I'm like, why are we even bothering? Closer to $100 for an extra terabyte. Like, look at what memory costs like on the open market. It's way, way, way cheaper than this. So it needs to get down to like the universal prices for storage. Storage is cheap these days, unless you've got an Xbox, apparently. Or they need to start shipping 1 terabyte versions of the Series S. Hopefully there'll be some kind of Series S refresh with a 1 terabyte drive, because that's the number one. I would unreservedly recommend a Series S to almost anyone, but I would always say, but just bear in mind, you're going to run out of storage really fast.
Gary, while I agree with you, they do need a 1 terabyte Series S option. For all the people that have already have a Series S, you know, like myself and others, to then see that hit the market, and even if it's, I don't know, what is the Series S right now? $300? Let's say the 1 terabyte one was $350, right? That would almost seem like a slap in the face, because I can't have that price. I can't expand my storage to be on par with that for the same price.
But I think the expansion option is going to come alongside it, right? By the time there is like a 1 terabyte Series S, my guess is there'll probably be like $100 memory card as well. I would hope.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. They got to get that price down of that 1 terabyte expansion.
Like what's the going rate for like a terabyte of SSD storage these days? It ain't $180. I'll tell you that much. It's a lot less than that.
I'll tell you what, Gary. I mean, I love that they brought back the memory card type look and feel. You know what I mean? Like, I'm interested. I love the idea of like pulling it out, bringing it to your house.
Yeah, put it right into another machine. It's great.
I was all on board for that. But Paris, what do you got?
I literally just pulled up the Western Digital black one. I can go to Best Buy right now and get it for $70.
Okay. See? So I was going to say $100. It's cheaper even than that.
Yeah, the 1 terabyte's got.
And that's the high. And that's the M2, right? That's the high spec you can put in a PlayStation 5.
Yeah, that's the M2. Yeah. I'm looking at the Samsung 980 Pro 1 terabyte that you could put into a PS5 right now. $90.
That's a joke. Microsoft needs to do better on this. They're really lagging behind on this.
That was their one when we did the re-review of the Series X after 2 years. That was the conversation we had. Was storage is a problem. And we got
it. I want to see with the next, because there's always a hardware refresh, especially in these really long hardware cycles. The thing I want to see from the next refresh, the next kind of mid-gen upgrade, like half-assed update that they do, like, you know, when they do the Pro or whatever, or the what did they call it back at the time?
The One X
The Elite, I want to see an Xbox Series X without a disk drive that's cheaper. I don't even know if the disk drive in my Series X even works, or if there's even one in there. I've never tried to use it.
Mine has 50 Cent Blood in the Sand in it.
Oh, well, if you're going to put something in there, you might as well put that in there.
Come on.
And a Series S with better storage. Those are the two refreshes they need mid-cycle, I think.
Great. Well, we will continue. Well,
one thing you didn't mention during the Game Pass stuff, Mike, I wanted to make sure we brought up, because Quantum Break is leaving.
Oh, yes, Game I Pass. Saw that. Yeah.
Oh, because of that weird licensing issue, right?
Right, and Aaron Greenberg confirmed that it will come back. They just got to work out the licensing, so it's not going away forever.
There we go. That's great right there. That's good to know for everybody out there. Quantum Break, a totally different style of game than we've ever seen that Xbox tried to do back in the Xbox One era. Well worth your time to just see it and enjoy it, see what that's all about. Mm-hmm. Mix of a video game and a television show. Always thought that was weird and different, and I like that, right? I like when we get weird and different. But we'll be twiddling our thumbs until, of course, that comes back due to licensing, and we get to see expanded hard drive space or even the Xbox family plan. That's just somewhere out there.
Where's the Game Pass family plan that they've been talking about? But, and I know they've been testing it in some territories.
Well, one day it will come, Gary Whitta. Until then, we'll keep talking Xbox. We'll keep having fun here on the Kinda Funny XCast. We're going to get out of here. I hope you enjoyed the preview of Minecraft Legends. Of course, let us know down in the comments below or hit us up on social media. Tell us if you are excited for this real-time strategy game, action real-time strategy game with a little twist. Let us know if you like that. And, of course, we'll see you back here next week for more video game talk. Goodbye, everyone.